Good morning, everyone. My name is Lu. Because the next 15 minutes will also be mine, so I will combine my two presentations together. Actually, I was on purpose to say that we will have the question part 25 minutes later. I'm now a graduate student from Washington State University. I will have my defense the end of next month. So today I will talk about my main research of my doctoral project. The title is Assessing the Pistol's Role in Sweet Cherry Cultivars Exhibiting Variable Fruit Set. Sweet cherry, as you may know that, it is delicious. If you just, simply input the two words, sweet cherry, on the website, you can find articles like this one said, eat cherries for a healthy heart, a good night's sleep, and more. At least those papers have approved that it is worth of us to have the study on sweet cherries. The United States is in the top three countries to producing the sweet cherries in the world. And within the United States, more than 50% of the sweet cherries are produced from Washington State. In Washington State, we have many new cherry cultivars. Those cherry cultivars has a compelling quality attributes. For example, the regular cherry size, the diameter is around 23 millimeters. But the new cultivars we have, Titan, the diameter can reach as large as 30 millimeters. It's a huge difference. However, those cherry cultivars we have usually have a very poor production. That means the high production cherry cultivars, usually the production is around 14 tons per acre, but the low production cherry cultivars usually only 4 tons per acre. So we think about that. If we can increase the productions of the cherries, we can bring the local growers a great benefit. Therefore, we try to figure out what's the reason that results in the low production. In 2012, I started a basic survey of sweet cherries with the various cherry cultivars. We checked about the flower numbers, fruit set, fruit drop, fruit number, fruit weight. And in the result, we find that the fruit set of the low-yield cultivars is significantly lower than the fruit set of the high-yield cultivar. So we focus our energy on the low fruit set. There are many factors that can causing the low fruit set. For example, self-incompatible, stigma receptivity, temperature, pollen activity. After the exclusion of the impossible factors, we find that the stigma receptivity and ovoviability could be the most likely causes for the low fruit set. To briefly explain the stigma receptivity and ovoviability, I will have a simple description of the pollination process. Please see the pictures on your left hand. You can see this is the structure of pistil. On the top, this is stigma, and then connected to the stele. At the bottom is the ovary. The first step of pollination is starting from the dry pollen touched the surface of stigma. And then, because of the extension that is secreted from the surface of stigma, the pollen got swollen. We call this stage the pollen hydration stage. And then the pollen tube germinated from the pollen and grows through the stels till it reaches the ovary to have a further fertilization. To have a successful fertilization, we need to make sure that before the pollen tube reaches the ovary should have a full viability. Here, we considered the step 2, pollen hydration. Step 3, pollen tube germination. Step 4, pollen tube growth will reflect the receptivities of the stigmas. temperature. According to previous research, we find that the temperature also has a close relationship with the stigma receptivity and ovoviability. For example, under low temperature, the pollen tube, few pollen tubes can germinate, let alone to grow through the cells to reach the ovary. However, the high temperature will also accelerate the ovule degenerations. Therefore, in this research, we controlled the temperatures. We sampled the shoots with the flowers back from the field to put them into the growth chambers to mimic the moderate field temperatures. We also set the higher temperature and the lower temperature to have a comparison. In this research, we have samples from both Washington State and Oregon State. Four cherry cultivars were selected. Two of them were low production. And then we put them into the growth chamber, gave the hand pollination to the flowers at different ages. Then we sampled these flowers back to in the fixation to have a further stigma receptivity and ovule viability test. In the field, we also set trials. We used the same four cherry cultivars and gave the hand pollination to the flowers at the different ages and record the fruit set. To assess the stigma receptivity, we both observed the stigma surface and the stigma longitudinal sections. We also the pollen hydration, pollen germination, and the pollen tube growth in vivo were all tested. Because the pollen hydration, you can also call that the pollen swollen, were varied with the trails. So we classified the pollen hydration into five stages. And then we used those data to calculate the pollen hydration level using the formula like this slide said here. In the result of the stigma development, we find that it is obviously to observe on 2 days after the flower opening, the exudation is starting to secrete from the surface of stigma. And then on 4 days after the flowering, we found the structure of most papillaries were collapsed. However, in this research, we find that there were no significant differences among the cherry cultivars in the development of stigma. The result of pollen hydration level, we applied the pollens to flowers on different days after the flower opening. So please see the graph here. On 2 and 3 days after the flower opening, the pollen hydration level reached its peak. However, it is also difficult to say, you know, the four cultivars has differences in the pollen hydration levels. This is the data of the pollen germination rate of one cultivar, Titan. There are many informations here. However, we find that the genotypes also, the influence of genotypes also has no significant differences to the pollen germination rate. However, the effect of temperature to the pollen germination rate is remarkable. Generally, the higher the temperature, the higher the rate of the pollen germination. In another research, we also checked about the pollen tuber growth. We find that the pollen tuber growth within the flowers of different cherry cultivars performed similarly to each other. But in that research, we find, you know, in sweet cherries, the pollen tube cannot grow through the cells to reach the ovary within 2 days. So now we can have our exclusion for the factors that may not cause the low fruit set. The stigma surface development is not the main factor. The pollen hydration? No. Pollen germination? Pollen tube growth? So we can find that the stigma receptivity, there is no business with of the stigma receptivity with the low fruit set. Well, how about the ovule viability? In sweet cherries, there are usually two ovules inside the ovary. One of the ovule will take part in the fertilization. We call this ovule the primary ovule. Another ovule will degenerate. We call this ovule the secondary ovule. We stain the ovules with anilin blue and then observe them under the fluorescence microscope. The areas of the ovule that shows the fluorescence colors means this part of the ovule has lost viability. We classified the ovule viabilities into five levels. Please see the pictures on the first one here. It's the first one on the bar at the bottom. Okay, this ovule is totally without any fluorescence colors. We call this ovule full of viability. This is the result of the ovule viability of the high yield cultivar Rainier. Here is the temperature. Here is the days after the flower opening. And here is the fluorescence, the ovule viability scale. In this result, you can see, for example, under the high temperature, most of the ovules still have the full viability. Well, how about the result? This is the result of the ovule viability of the low-yield cultivar Benton. With the naked eyes, you can see there are huge differences between these two cultivars. To make this clear, I highlight the result of the ovule viabilities of the two cultivars under both high temperature of the ovules with full viabilities, and make the graph here. You can see the green columns here is the ovule viability of the low yield cultivar, and the black column is the high yield cultivar. You may still remember that I mentioned two to three days after the flower opening, the pollen hydration reached its peak. And also for sweet cherry, the pollen tube cannot grow through the cells to reach the ovary within 2 days. So that means the optimum days for the fertilization of sweet cherry is at least 4 to 5 days. So please see the data of the 5 days after the flowering. You can find that the ovule viability of the low-yield cultivar is only around 30%. But the ovule viability of the high-yield cultivar reached as high as 90%. That's a huge difference. So here we have a conclusion that the main reasons that result in the low fruit set of the sweet cherries is mainly because of the premature ovule degeneration. Let's have a look at the fruit set of the we recorded in the field. We gave the hand pollination to the flowers on different days after the flowering, and we find that on 2 days after the flower opening, the fruit set reached its maximum value. So we have a summary. The stigma receptivity and the fruit set were highest on the second day after flowering. Second, under high temperature, stigma receptivity performed better, but the ovules are easy to lose the viability. Third, the main reasons that result in the low fruit set of the sweet cherries in Washington State is mainly because of the premature ovule senescence.